Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. And Professor Shoub, here's hoping you have a much better connection today than you had yesterday.
Yeah, I think we do. Thanks. My apologies again for yesterday.
No, massive smile on my face, Prof, because you're clear as crystal. So, yesterday we were going to talk about people are now tired. Wow, yeah. That's an understatement of a half. People are tired of COVID. Are they behaving in accordance with that kind of feeling and being kind of negligent about it, Prof?
Well, I'm actually going to deal with two completely different kind of approaches to COVID. Today I'm going to talk about the people who are tired, and tomorrow I'm going to talk about the people who are terrified of COVID, the two extremes. So today let me deal with the people who are tired. And what actually kind of gave me the impetus for this is a recent survey. You might have seen it got quite a lot of publicity from the University of Johannesburg Center for Social Change and also the HSRC, the Human Sciences Research Council. They did a study of 8,000 South African respondents between July and September. And you know, it's interesting that 4 in 10 of these respondents feel that the threat of coronavirus is exaggerated, and 1 in 3 don't always wear a mask. So these are the people that are really tired of the epidemic. It's now 8 months into the pandemic, and, you know, people are not following the rules. You know, there's a technical term for it. It's called compliance fatigue. In complying with the rules and regulations. And it's actually, it's new. You know, I suppose it's the length of time that we had this pandemic. And also the kind of, you know, it's the length of time that people have had to get used to these public health restrictions. And people, unfortunately, are not. You know, in the early 50s with the polio epidemic, you know, public swimming pools were closed, sporting matches cancelled. I think schools were even closed as well. And the compliance was excellent, but it was a relatively short period of time. And the disease was very visible. And in fact, even in 1918 in the Spanish flu, where the devastation was very much more visible, but a much shorter period of time, and people complied very well. The problem here is I think that, and particularly I don't want to, it's really the kind of younger folk feel that the reward is much greater than the risk. The risk they don't really seem to perceive as being very significant, and their restrictions in their reward are regarded as much, much more important. In fact, in some people, it's not just the neglect, it's active activism. I think I spoke a little while back about the anti-masking brigade in America. Fortunately, it hasn't taken place in this country. But again, I think it's an expression of rebellion against the authority dictating restrictions.
Prof, would it not also be perhaps that there is a perception, rightly or wrongly, that for whatever reason, COVID-19 is treatable if you're young and strong and don't have comorbidities?
Young and strong, you either don't have any symptoms at all, because they spread it though, they spread the infection, or they get it very mildly and they recover quite well. As you say, in some cases, even if they do get ill, it is relatively easy to treat in the young individual, but certainly not in the older person and the person with comorbidities. So, you know, the problem is, where do we stand now? I think all scientists are at one that we shouldn't really go down to lockdown. Hope the authorities do listen. There have been threats of going back to lockdown. I don't think lockdown's really going to serve it, as, you know, serve the purpose of controlling the thing. What really is are these interventions which everybody, all scientists agree unanimously that it's the tracking and tracing, of course, but also all the social distancing, the social gathering, the masks, the hand sanitizing, and so on. And that's really what's going to govern when we have a second wave, which I think is probably inevitable, and how severe. I think we said it over and over again. Everybody agrees with that. And, you know, there have been quite a number of scientific papers coming out now showing scientifically that masks are so effective in preventing infection. You know, they did a study in the States. If 95% of people, it's a modeling study, wore masks in public, that would save, between now and the end of February, 130,000 lives. Another thing I was, if 80% of the people wore masks 50% of the time, we could probably bring the epidemic under control. So it's really the control now really depends on the people. I'm going to talk maybe on just on Thursday on vaccines. Now, what do people expect when we do have a vaccine? Is that going to, you know, cut the epidemic, or do we still have to do these non-pharmaceutical interventions?
Interesting, Prof. So tomorrow we'll talk about those who go too far the other way and are too terrified about the pandemic. So thanks for that. Keep your line as crisp as it is, because it was a pleasure chatting to you this afternoon.
Thanks, Alan.
Same time tomorrow, Prof.
Yeah, great talking to you. All the best.